Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the last of the narrow lines on Daf Chof Beis. You'll notice a slash mark following which it says Tanan Hossam. Before we learn the Gemara itself, let's glance at the outside margin where we have our Nosei heading, Nosei being topic heading, under which we've written Dam Halev, blood associated with the heart of the animal. In our recent sugis, we've been dealing with the prohibition of consuming blood. Here the Gemara focuses on the blood of the heart. There are two aspects, hanimsa b'cholol, this is blood that accumulates in the chambers of the heart, and that osi me'alma, that is blood that came from other parts of the body, and delay means of its own blood. In other words, the heart muscle has absorbed in its walls blood. The Gemara, tanan hosom, halev, the heart of an animal, koro, one will tear it open, umotzi es domo, and remove the blood. This is in order to prepare it for eating. One shall first remove the blood by tearing it open, and then preparing the heart in whatever roasting fashion is necessary. Lo koroi, eno over olof, if he didn't tear it open, so he is not in violation of the prohibition of consuming blood, which would otherwise carry with it a penalty of kores. Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rav, lo yishonu elo belev oif. The expression in this source says that he is not in violation of the prohibition of blood. That applies only if you're dealing with the heart of a bird. Hoyol v'ein bo kezayis, a bird, a kosher variety bird heart, won't contain an olive quantity of blood. Avo lev behemo, the yesh bo kezayis, but the heart of an animal that has it will have an olive quantity worth of blood in it. Oser v'chayovin olav kores. It is forbidden, and one who consumes it will be in violation or subject to the kores punishment. Meisvei, we raise an objection. We have a Tanaic source in which we have dashed underlined Dam Halev, and this source concludes by saying that there is a loisase, but it doesn't indicate that there is a kores penalty. A losase is a standard negative command that would carry with it a lashing penalty, but not a kores punishment. The source says, Meisve, dam hatchol, dam halev, dam hakloyas, dam evorim, hare elu beloi saase. The focus for right now is on the dam halev expression, the other expressions we've discussed in previous shiurim. And it says in this source that it is a transgression of a negative command. Dam mahalchei shtayim, dam shkotzim urmosim, osur v'ein chayoven olav. The blood of human beings or of other types of crawling creatures is forbidden, and there's no chayoven, it's not in violation. The main point for us right now is the emphasis on dam halev, and the fact that it does not say kores. So the Gemara answers, ki kotoni, this Tanaic source that says that it is only a negative command and not punishable by kores, bedam delay. That's a reference to the blood of the heart muscle itself, not the blood accumulated in its chambers. Ki Ki Ko'oma Rav, Rav, who said that there is a punishment of Kores, De Osi Le Ve'Amo. That's blood that came to the heart chamber from outside of the heart. Question. Dam Dilei Hainu Dam Evorim. If you're saying that the source that speaks about the Loisase is a reference to its own blood, that's the same thing that's already recorded in the source of Dam Evorim, the blood of organs. So that would be a there would be a redundancy if we're going to accept this pshat. So the Gemara responds, Uletameich, well, according to you that find this problematic, this redundancy, Uletameich mi lo kotoni, does it not say in the same source Dam Kloyos, the kotoni Dam Evorim? In the same source, there's a reference to the blood of the kloyos, often translated as the blood of the kidneys. And in the same source that we read, it mentions dam evorim, the blood of organs. So, elo, toni, vahadar, toni. So you have to say that this source states something in a somewhat repetitive fashion. Hochinami, so too with regard to the heart. Toni, it mentions dam halev, vahadar, toni, and then it says dam evorim. So that the objection of redundancy is deflected, if you will, as we see this seems to be the precedent or the style of this source. Another question, me alma, you mentioned that the kores point made by Rav is a reference to blood that came from outside the heart. Mehecha osi le, where does that come from? In other words, when you slaughter an animal and you take out its organs, how can you explain there being blood in that came from outside of that organ? Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera explains that b'shal shaneshama yoytza misraf sorif or mishraf sorif, when the animal's life is departing, it draws blood. It draws blood into its heart chamber. Rashi explains, Mishraf Sharif, Moshe Chadami Beis Hashchita B'Neshimosoi V'Koinsoi B'Liboi. As it's being slaughtered and its neck organs are being cut, it draws the animal through its gasping last breaths, it gathers blood together into its heart. That explains the presence of blood in the heart chambers. Dam shahaneshama yotzaboy chayovin olov. We had learned that the blood that contains the animal's life breath, its life departure, is the blood for which one is chayev. Here, the Gemara, we can first look at our topic heading on the outside margin of the Nosei. We've written, Eizehu dam hakozo shahaneshama yotzaboy. How do we define, or which is the blood during whose flow the life breath leaves? Now, in order to define that, we are going to see that there is a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. The Gemara Itmar Eizehu Dam Hakozo Shehaneshama Yoitza Boy. Which is the blood flow through which the life breath departs? Rabbi Yochanan represents the first opinion, and you'll see the next line, Reish Lakish, a second opinion. Before we actually learn the Gemara, let us first read a Rashi, and then we will look at a little diagram that we have on the side of the Gemara. There's a Rashi, Dam Hakozo. The Rashi says, we have little diamonds, you can see we've drawn into the Rashi, Betchila Shochor. At first, when you're dealing with the, let us say you slaughter the animal, you slice its neck organs. So at first, Betchila Shochor, it's a dark, there's a dark hue to the blood. V'achakach yotza odoim. And then it becomes a brighter red. Ushtehen b'shesisa b'loy kiluach. These first two color flows are in a dripping fashion. In other words, a non-forceful flow. That's b'loy kiluach b'rochoik. There is bleeding, but not a forceful flow of blood that would flow to the distance. V'achakach mikaleach, then it tends to come out with a greater force. V'soif kishehadam mismait shoyseis v'yorid b'samoch, and then it ceases. It becomes minimized and starts once again to drip down close to the animal's body itself. Let's glance at the side. We have a little chart. There's a little starred comment under the No Say heading that we've called Tahalif, the process, Yitzias Adam, of the exiting of the blood. So at first, you notice we've written Mashir, it's dark, Odoim, it is a brighter red, and those two we've linked together with a brace calling it Shoseis. It's not a powerful flow at that point. Then the third stage described was Mikaleach, a forceful flow, and then finally Shoseis, again a less forceful bleeding. What we are here to do is to define at what point does the life breath of the animal leave it. So we go back to the Gemara, and we, after having raised the question of what is the Dam HaKozah Shana Shama Yotzebo, reading back in the Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan's name is underlined, number one, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kolzman She Mekaleach, during the Mekaleach time, and that's a limited time. As you can see on the chart, it's number three stage, and you notice we've written Rabbi Yochanan's name right next to that. Now Rish Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish has a broader definition, and he says Mitipo Hamashcheres V'Eilech. That means that from the end of the first stage of dark ewe blood, and the which really is the beginning of the bright blood, from that point onwards is life breath departure. Rashi says, "Mitipo hamashcheres v'eilech, mishikolo mashcheres rishon." When the first dark stage finishes, v'hischil ha'adim, and then it becomes bright red. Hu dam hanefesh. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form: the triangle with a colored-in tip. Under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated these are kushios al Reish Lakish. These are challenges to Reish Lakish's approach. So the Gemara, Meisvei, Eizehu dam hakozo shanashama yoytzaboi, what is the blood flow that contains the life breath of the animal? Kol zman shemekaleach, when it's coming out forcefully. Yotza dam hatamsis mitnei shehu shoseis, to the exclusion of what we call dam hatamsis, that is not dam shanashama tluyavo, and that drips out. Now, my lav afilu rishon v'achroin, the shoyseis hu kedam hatamtzis domi, and tufto the Reish Lakish. Are we not to assume that when the source here says to the exclusion of dam hatamtzis, which is shoyseis, is it not referring to the beginning shoseis and the end shoseis? That all of that is considered dam hatamsis. Dam hatamsis would be the blood that oozes out that does not contain the life breath. Now, if you make this assumption, like the Gemara does, even meaning even the Rishon and Achron, which is Shoseis, just look at our little diagram, and you can see that all that, anything that's categorized as Shoseis, is not considered Dam Shanefesh Yotzebo, and that would pose a challenge to Reish Lakish, who said that there, that Dam that is Shoseis, Dam that's Shoseis, is Dam Shanefesh Shehaha Neshama Yotzeboi. So the Gemara says, Loi, this source that excluded the blood that shoseis is lemute dam hamashchir. All it's coming to do is to exclude the mashchir, and that you can see was stage one. Avol, Dam, Rishon, V'Achron, but as far as the beginning and end, Af Algav, Dehu Shoseis. Now, when he says Rishon, we're talking about from after the Masha, which we would call here, on using our little diagram, from stage 2 onwards, even though it is Shoseis, it doesn't come out with a forceful flow, Hainu Dam HaNefesh. It is Dam HaNefesh, like Reish Lakish. Another question, Meisvei, Ezehu Dam HaNefesh? Kol Zman Shemekalech. What is Dam HaNefesh? As long as it's coming out forcefully. Yotza Rishon VeAchron, to the exclusion of beginning and end, Mitnei Shehu Shoseis. It's not Dam HaNefesh because it comes out in a non-forceful way. Tuftei the Reish Lakish. This would then be a repudiation of Reish Lakish. Omar Loch, Reish Lakish responds, Tanoihi, the issue is a Tanaic controversy, and I will have a basis for my opinion. Desanyo, the following source, Ezehu Dam HaNefesh, what is Dam HaNefesh? Kolzman She Mikaleach, Divrei Rabbi Lezer. Now, that opinion is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mitipo HaMashcheres VeElech, from after the dark blood onwards, that's Dam HaNefesh. So that would be like Reish Lakish. Tano Debei Rabbi Yishmael. We have a Tanaic source from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, quoting a posuk in Bamidbar, and it says, "V'dam Chalolim Hishte." The blood of Chalolim. Chalolim are people that were killed, dead individuals. The dam that comes from Chalolim, dam that comes after Misa, is called a Mashke. And a Mashke is something that is Machshir Lekabel Tuma. So the blood from the dead, that's found in dead people, that's categorized as a Mashke. Prat, to the exclusion of Ladam Kiluach, She'eno Machshir Es Hazroim. Dam Kiluach is blood that comes out with a forceful flow. That is not called a mashke. That won't be machshir. It won't be the machshir. That is the mechanism that enables food items to absorb tuma. So that dam chalolim is a mashke, but dam kiluach is not a mashke. Bo mine Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks of Rabbi Zera, hikis dam lebehema, one bloodlet an animal. And a lot of blood came out. The kibel doma b'shnei kaisos, and he received the blood in two cups. Mahu. Al harishon divrei kol chayov. With regard to the first cup of blood, everyone will hold that carries with it a full penalty of blood prohibition. Namely, if one would consume that blood, he would be chayav. And it's pointed out that in that first cup, there is definitely blood that comes out with a forceful flow. That's called dam kiluach. Al ho'acharoin, regarding the second cup, mi mechayev olo, will the blood there carry with it a chiyuv or not? Would it be considered a blood violation or not? Omar le, so Rabbi Zera answers, plukto de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. The answer to your question really is a controversy between Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish d'itmar, hekiz dam lebehema v'kibel doma b'shnei kaisois, one who caused a blood flow from an animal and received its blood in two cups. Reish Lakish amar chayav shtei chatos, that each cup will generate a separate chiyuv. According to Reish Lakish, let's remember that even the blood that comes out after the forceful flow has in it dam hanefesh, or is called dam hanefesh. Therefore, even the second cup will carry with it a blood violation. And when we say blood violation, a chiyuv chatos, we're talking about something that would, if done willingly, would be punishable by kores. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Eino Chayov Elo Achas. one, if he consumed these two cups of blood, he'd be in violation of only one chatos level penalty, namely for the first cup, because in that first cup, you've got the blood that came out forcefully. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Bedam Hatamtzis. We saw this opinion in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the blood that drips out of an animal, that is, even though it's not the blood that comes out with a great force, it's blood that comes out after the animal has been shechted, that is also chayev kores. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Moider Rabbi Yehuda, Linyan Kapara, Rabbi Yehuda will concede that as far as the blood of sacrifices that atones, that it is not to be used. The Dam HaTamsis is not worthy or not fit to be used in the blood sprinkling of sacrifices on the altar that serve as the atonement. Shinema ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper. That is the pasuk, and we learn from here, dam shanefesh yotzeboi mechaper, the blood that contains the life breath of the animal. It is that blood that atones. V'shein hanefesh yotzeboi eino mechaper, but blood that does not contain with it the life breath of the animal does not atone. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Afana Nami Tnina, we have a Tanaic source as well, that Dam HaTamtzis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not Mechaper. So we're now going to present a Tanaic source. There's no name in the source, but the Gemara will show how we can identify it as Rabbi Yehuda. So the source says, Dam, a takeoff on the Pasuk, Matam Lomar Kol Dam, what is the purpose of the Pasuk saying Kol Dam? The Fishin Emar, because there is a pasuk that says Ki Hadam Hu Benefesh Yichaper. Ein Li Ela Dam Kotshim Shanefesh Yotzeboi Shu Mechaper. I would think that what is considered Dam to carry with it a penalty and prohibition of Dam that would be Chayav Kores, I would think that it's only the blood that is useful for atonement in the case of sacrifices. Dam chulin v'dam hatamtzis minayin. What about blood that's from common animals and blood that does not carry with it the life breath of the animal? That's the dam hatamtzis. From where do I know that also does generate a chiyuv dam, that one who consumes those bloods as well will be guilty of blood consumption? Tamalomar kol dam. That's what I gain by the kol, the word kol in the pasuk, which is inclusive. Namely, it includes beyond the dam of kotshim that's used for atonement. So what do we see in this source? We see that dam hatamsis is not the blood that is used for atonement purposes, but yet it does carry with it a blood penalty. Now, this source doesn't have a name in it, but it is darshaning. This source is focusing on a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. So it's a drosha on Sefer Vayikra. The oral tradition that darshans psukim in Sefer Vayikra is called the Sifra. And this is a Stam Sifra, an unnamed section from that work called the Sifra. Money, who authored that? Rabbi Yehuda. It is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda recognizes that though Dam HaTamsis is Chayav Kores, nevertheless it is not a source of atonement when bringing a sacrifice. The Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with the issue of Me'ilah and what happens if a person is involved with a Sofek Me'ilah. Does a Sofek Me'ilah generate the need for bringing a Korban Asham Tolui? Rabbi Kiva Mechayev al Sofek Me'ila Asham Tolui. Rabbi Kiva says that one who is in doubt as to whether he was in violation of Me'ila is the prohibition of
deriving personal benefit from sanctified items.
So Rabbi Akiva says that if one is involved with a doubtful violation of Milah, that does generate an Osham Talui. In the past, by the way, we've discussed the Osham Talui, and that's generally speaking associated with violations of doubtful violations of sins that if one knew he violated, he would bring a korban chatos. And if done knowingly, if violated knowingly, it would be punishable by kores. Other types of sins, for example, if one eats pork meat, though it is a sin, it nevertheless does not carry with it a kores penalty. And as such, if one were to have eaten pork unknowingly, he wouldn't bring a korban chatos. And therefore, if one were in doubt about such a consumption, he would not bring an osham toloi. As opposed to other types of violations, like areas of adultery or forbidden relations, or Yom Kippur eating, or melacha, those kind of sins do carry with them a kores penalty. Hence, if one is in doubt as to whether they were in violation of it, they would bring an osham toloi. What about mi'ilah? Well, mi'ilah, it just so happens, does not carry with it a kores penalty. Rabbi Akiva nevertheless says that on a suffik mi'ilah, one will bring an osham toloi. V'chachamim pochrim, the chachamim say that he will not be, he's exempt from the osham toloi. Umoyde Rabbi Akiva, she'eno mevi es mi'iloso, ad she'is voda loi. Rabbi Akiva concedes, though, that the money payment associated with one having derived personal benefit from sanctified items, which requires a financial a payment or compensation, that compensation is not made until he knows definitively that he was in violation of mi'ilah. And when he becomes knowledgeable, when it becomes known to him, then he brings the money. That's called mi'iloso. V'yovi imoy osham vare. And at that point, he will then bring the definitive osham sacrifice, which one brings when he is in violation of mi'ilah. But as long as he is in a state of doubt, so Rabbi Akiva says he brings an osham talui and does not have any financial obligation at that point. Omar Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, in hearing Rabbi Akiva's approach, he says, "Ma loze mevi shtei ashamos? Why should he have to bring two osham sacrifices? One at the outset in osham tolui, and then when he finds out that he was in violation, then brings a second korban osham, a definitive korban osham. Ela mevi osham meila v'chumsha." Rather, says Rabbi Tarfon, I say he should bring, when he is at, even when he is in a state of doubt, he should bring the an osham mi'ila, the osham sacrifice, and chumsha, and the payment plus a fifth. Let's read this again. Elo mevi mi'ila v'chumsha v'yovi osham b'shnei sloim. He brings the mi'ilah is the momon and the added fifth. That's one and a fifth times whatever he had been, the value, one and a fifth times of whatever he benefited. And he brings an osham b'shnei sloim. That's two pieces of silver, which is the value of the animal that he is expected to bring. V'yomar. And makes the following declaration. So right now we have this fellow bringing the money and a korban osham, and he says the following: Im vadai mo'alti, if I definitely was moel, if I am in definite violation of mi'ilah, then zumi ilasi v'zui ashami. This is the money that I owe, and this is the korban osham that I would have to bring. Im sofik mo'alti, and if there is a question as to whether I was in violation, hamois nadava, then let the money be a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, the Osham Toloi, and the animal is an Osham Toloi. And you'll ask, well, how can this be done as far as the animal playing the a dual role as both an Osham, a real Osham, Osham Vadai, and at the same time an Osham Toloi? Well, the answer to that is Shemi Minshu Mevi Al Hoda Mevi Al Loi Hoda. It's the same kind of animal that one brings, whether he is Hoda, he knows he violated, and the same animal as when he is not sure, when he is in doubt. So therefore, it's possible to bring one animal and make this conditional statement. Omar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Nirin Devarov B'Me'ila Mu'uta. Rabbi Akiva says, I can hear your position when the amount owed as a result of benefiting improperly from the Beis HaMikdash or from the sanctified item is a small amount. So he'll bring the small amount of money and make this type of deal or dedication, that if I need to bring it, so then let this be my payment, and if I don't, so let it be a gift. What about a case where someone encountered a possibility of having benefited to the tune of mea mona, let's say, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of possible debt because of benefit from hektish, from the sanctified items. Are you going to say the same thing, just bring the money and in case he needs to bring it, then fine, that's his payment, and otherwise he's bringing it as a gift? Lo yofe, lo, wouldn't it be better, shiyavi osham b'shtei sloyim, let him bring a simple osham toluy, the lo yofi suffik mi'ila b'me'a mona, and not bring the money to the tune of 100 mona. So that Rabbi Akiva is basically saying that if it's a large amount, my approach would make more sense. Moide Rabbi Akiva b'tarfon b'me'ila m'uta. Rabbi Akiva will concede to Rabbi Tarfon when the amount of money that he would owe anyway, if it were determined that he definitely was in violation, is a relatively small amount. But if it's a large amount, then says Rabbi Akiva, my original way would make more sense for the violator. Let him just bring an Osham Toluy. And as far as all the requirements, compensation requirements that are necessary, let's hold off on that until it's determined that he definitely was in violation. We now continue at the top of Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. We open up with a Tanaic source that cites a pasuk from the realm of Osham Toluy, Ve'im Nefesh. Right before this pasuk, it should be noted that the Torah was dealing with Osham Mi'ilos. That's the Korban Osham brought when one violates the Isser, the prohibition of Mi'ila, of benefiting, personally benefiting from sanctified items. So the pasuk in the next parsha, the next section, speaks about the Osham Talui, and says, Ve'im Nefesh. L'chayev al sofik mi'ilois Osham Toluy, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva sees in the fact that the Osham Toluy follows the section of the Torah dealing with Osham mi'ilos, that for a sofik mi'ila, he also will bring an Osham Toluy. V'chachom in potrim. V'chachom say no. If one is involved with a sofik mi'ila, he is exempt from, he does not bring an Osham Toluy. The Chachomim, as we presented them before, are of the opinion that an Osham Toluy is brought only when there's a doubt concerning a type of offense that would carry with it a kores penalty if done deliberately, if violated deliberately, which is not the case by a Mi'ila violation. You'll notice we have some triangles, and on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, where we have a topic heading combined with a structural note, we've written Shlavim, these are stages, L'hasbir machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim, to stages in explaining the controversy between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, v'inyin chiyuv osham toluy b'sofek mi'ila, whether there is a
an osham tolui obligation when one is in doubt as to whether he violated mi'ilah.
We use the diamond to emphasize the expression dekulei alma, that everyone is in agreement with, well, whatever. And you'll notice, though, when looking at this sugya with a bird's eye view, that the triangles continue a way down this page, and you'll notice the diamonds as well. So the Gemara's first stage in analyzing this is a suggestion, lemo b'hal kamifligi. Should we say that the following is the point of controversy? Rabbi Akiva savar lemedim elyon mitachtoin, that I learn the elyon, the upper, the earlier section, in this case the earlier section was mi'ilah, from tachton, from the later section dealing with the osham tolui, namely that I will apply that which is stated later, the issue of osham tolui, to the earlier topic, namely mi'ilah. And Rabbonon Savri ein lemeidim elyon mitachton. I don't learn matters of the concerning the earlier section, namely mi'ilah, from the later section. Should we say that? Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says no. De kulei alma lemeidim elyon mitachton. Everyone will be in agreement that earlier sections are elucidated by that which is stated later. De im kain, if you were to say otherwise, namely, if you were to say, according to the Rabbanan, that you don't learn matters concerning the earlier section from that which is stated later, then Safon beben Bokor, the Rabbanan, Loi Mishkachas Law. Safon is the north. It's a reference to the slaughtering of a sacrifice in the northern part of the Azara. The Torah mentions that the Ben Bokor is slaughtered as a sacrifice, but how do I know that it's slaughtering, let us say in the case of a Korban Ola? You bring a cow offering as a korban ola. How do I know that it is slaughtered in the northern part of the Azara? After all, the Torah mentions the slaughtering of a korban ola in the northern part of the Azara, of the temple courtyard, when it speaks about a sheep offering or a light cattle, a tzon offering. The issue of a sacrifice being brought from sheep is a later topic, we will say. The Ben Bokor is mentioned earlier. How do I know that the Ben Bokor, which is stated earlier, also requires tzafon? So it must be because I learn elyon mi tachton. I learn the earlier, in this case the ben bokor, from the tachton, the tzon. Tzafon is stated by the tzon, and hence you'll have to say that everyone agrees that lemeidim elyon mi tachton. So then what is the point of controversy here regarding the osham tolui by mi'ilah? Ela haha, Hainu taimo de rabbonan de patri. This is the reason that the rabbonan say there is an osham tolui exemption in safek mi'ilah. De gemiri mitzvois mechatos chelev. There is a word comparison between the topics of osham tolui and a korban chatos, referred to often as a chatos chelev. Chelev is the forbidden parts of animals that if one were to eat them unwittingly, they would be chayav in a korban chatos. Ma lahalon dovor shechayov malzdoinoi kores shugasu chatos. Just like in the case of chaylev, you're dealing with something that, if done knowingly, would carry with it a kores penalty. If done unwittingly, would be chayav a chatos. Af kol shechayovin al zdono kores. Val shigigoso chatos, so to anything else that's like the chatos chelev, that carries with it a kores penalty if done b'mezid, knowingly, and if done unwittingly, shogeg would bring a korban chatos. V'al sfeko osham tolui, then when there is doubt, then one would bring an osham tolui. As in osham tolui, you also have the word mitzvois. La'afuke mi'ilo, to the exclusion of the topic of mi'ilo, de'ein chayovim al zdoinoi kores. Mi'ilo does not carry with it, if done knowingly, if one knowingly benefits from those items that are sanctified, is not chayav kores, though. Desanyo, hezid b'mi'ilo, if one willingly or knowingly was in violation of mi'ilo, Rebbe Oimer, b'miso, one is guilty of death at the hands of heaven, and this concept of misa is not the same as kores. V'chachamim omrim ba'az zahora. Azhora is an expression meaning he is in violation of a negative command, but no kores. So we have just heard the opinion of the Rabbanon, or the basis of the Rabbanon, why there is no osham tolui by mi'ila. And to say it, just to review it, Osham Tolui is brought under very specific circumstances when you're dealing with that kind of sin that would carry with it a kores penalty if done willingly or knowingly, which is not the case by Mi'ila. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Rabbi Kiva holds regarding this Gezeira Shava, Ki Alfinon Mitzvos Mechatos Chilev, Lahochi Hu Di Alfinon. When dealing with or when learning or benefiting from this Gezeira Shava, we learn from it the following. Ma lahalon bikvua, just like a chatas chelev is a sin offering which is not related to a person's income level. In other words, no matter what the person's income level is, he brings a fixed priced korban, which basically means he doesn't have options of bringing less expensive korbanos, which would include bird offerings or meal offerings. He must bring an animal offering. That's the case by the chatas chelev. So just like by chatas chelev, it's kavua. Af kan bekavua. Lafuke oylu v'yored deloi. So too, the realm of Osham Toli, when will one bring an Osham Toli? When he is in violation of that kind of sin that there is no flexibility or allowance made for the person of lesser financial abilities. To the exclusion of those kind of sins where the Torah does make an allowance for a person's income level or restricted income level, on those kind of sins, that one would bring what we call an oyle v'yored, means up and down, fluctuating price, korban chatos. If he is in doubt concerning those kind of offenses, there is no osham toloi. So Rabbi Kiva sees value in this mitzvos gezeira shava, but he doesn't focus on the kores aspect, but rather focuses on the issue concerning income level. Just like the chatas chelev is a korban chatas or chelev is a type of sin whose when violated does not make any allowance for income level issues, so too the osham toli is brought only in only for doubtful violations of those sins that don't take into consideration income level. V'rabbonon savri, ein gezeira shava lemechza. The Rabbonon, they agree with this last point, but they say that if you're making a gezeira shava, you don't make a partial comparison, and as a result of that, when I compare the issue of osham tolui to chatas chelev, what was just said is included, namely the osham tolui will not be brought in the case of an avera, that one that would carry with it a chatas oyle v'yored, but likewise the osham tolui is not brought for sins that don't carry with it a kores penalty, because we also, in that respect, we also compare osham tolui to the chatos chelev. Well, the Gemara asks, Michlauder b'kiva sover yesh gezeira shava lemechza. Are you implying then that Rabbi Akiva does hold that a gezeira shava is used for a comparison only in part, only in part of the elements. Namely, according to Rabbi Kiva, we said that we make the Gzeira Shava between Chatas Chelev and Oshem Toli only with regard to the issue of Oyba V'yored, but not with regard to Kores. And that's not tenable. In other words, to take such a position that we make a Gzeira Shava L'mechza, that's not a popular thing to do. Elo. So we have to come on to a new approach. De Kule Alma Ein Gzeira Shava L'mechza. Everyone will agree that when you are making a Gezerah Shava limud, when your limud is based on Gezerah Shava, you must make a comparison using all of the elements. And in the case of Chatos, those elements include Kores and fixed price. So, Elo, Hainu, Taimod, Rabbi Kiva. This is the reason for Rabbi Kiva that there is an Oshem Toli on Safek Me'ila. The Omar Kra. It's a method of limud that we call a Hekesh. And it says, V'im Nefesh, Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishon. The Pasuk uses a Vav in the transition from the topic of Mi'ilah to the topic of Osham Tolui. It says Ve'im Nefesh Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishoin V'yilmad Elyoin Mitachtoin. The Vav adds, and what does that mean? The Vav adds, in this case, it adds to the Inyan Rishon, to the earlier topic, and I therefore learn the earlier topic, the topic of Mi'ilah, from the Tachton, from the later topic of Osham Tolui. Namely, I apply Osham Tolui to the topic of Mi'ilah. Rabbanan Savri, Tachtoin Hu Degomar Me'elyon La Osham Bekesef Shkolim. The Rabbanan acknowledge that there is a Hekesh, however, it goes in the other direction. In other words, Tachton, the issue of Osham Tolui, is learned from the topic of Osham Mi'ilos to reveal the cost or the amount of money that must be laid out for such a sacrifice. Meaning, the Torah mentions the value or the cost of an Osham Mi'ilah, and it's Bekesef Shkolim, 2 pieces of silver, is the amount that one is expected to pay for an Osham Mi'ilah. How much is one expected to pay for Osham Tolui, which is mentioned afterwards? It's not revealed explicitly in the topic of Osham Tolui itself. So therefore, the Ve'im Nefesh that we just mentioned tells me I learn the Tachton, the issue of Osham Tolui, from that which was stated just before, namely the Osham Me'ilah, to reveal the cost. There is a parenthesis section that we are going to skip over, and we're doing this by virtue of the comment made by the Shita Mekubetzes and Ois Tess, Rabbi Akiva, Osham Bekesef Shkola Minole. What about Rabbi Akiva? He was up till now saying that I learned the earlier section from the later section, but in order to get to the cost of an Osham Tolui, I would have to go from the later. I would have to go from the learn from the earlier to the later. When Rabbi Akiva was saying, I'm learning the earlier from the later, if I want to know the cost of an Osham Tolui, I would have to go in the other direction, from the earlier Parsha, the Osham Mi'ilah, to the later Parsha of Osham Tolui. So the question here is, Rabbi Akiva, Osham Bekesef Shkolim Minolei, where is he going to learn out the cost of an Osham Tolui? Answer, Nafgalei mi zois terasa Osham. Torah achas l'chol ha'ashamos. One law applies to all kinds of Osham sacrifices. La'osham de bekesef shkolim. That the Osham shall pay, that you'll have to pay 2 pieces of silver. So that if I know the cost of one korban Osham, that will apply to all across the boards. So now, the Rabbi Kiva has his source for the cost of a korban Osham. Now, the Rabbanan had their source, and it was the idea of learning the Tachton Me'elyon. Now, I have a seemingly second source for that. What do I need a second source for? V'rabbanan, they will tell you, afagav dechsiv zois toras ha'asham, even though there is this pasuk, which would seem to tell me there's a uniform cost, itzterich lemichtav v'im nefesh vav moisif al inyan rishon, v'yilmad tachtoin me'elyon. I still need to have a second source, specifically referring to the Osham Toloi, where I am enabled to learn the Osham Toloi, the Tachton, from the Elyon, from the topic of Mi'ila. De'i mizois teras Osham, had I had just that posuk, have amino, I would have thought, ki amino teru achs l'cho ashamas, when do I say that there is one rule for all ashamas? Hani mini b'shar ashamas vadoyin, that's when you're dealing with the realm of a definitive korban osham for a known sin violation, aval osham talui, but a korban brought over a doubtful violation, kevon di al safek chelev kasi, since it's being brought for a possible or doubtful violation of chelev consumption, Amo, I would have thought, without the additional the vav moisif approach, without that, I would have thought, Amo lo yehi sveke chomer mivado, the Suffolk, the korban osham tolu, which is brought in the case of doubt, can't be more stringent than that which is brought when one definitely was in violation. And I would have thought, ma vadoi chatos bas danko, just like in the definitive violation, one brings a sin offering that costs a sixth of a dinar, that's a danko, which is a much lesser outlay of money than the two pieces of silver, the shnei shkolim that we mentioned before. So I would have thought, af sveko osham bar danko, that the osham tolui that he would bring when he's in a state of doubt shall be no more. It shall be also a sixth. Ahochi kosav rachmono v'im nefesh. Therefore, the Torah wrote v'im nefesh to tell me vav moisif al inyan rishon, that the vav adds or enables me to tie in the latter parsha, the parsha of Osham Toli, to the earlier parsha of Osham Ila, to tell me that for the Osham Toli he also has to lay out two pieces of silver, not a sixth. The Gemara continues, Ha nicha leman didorish zois toras ha'osham. We glance at Rashi, the lower part of the narrow lines, Ha nicho leman didorish motzi Rabbi Akiva lemeimar hochi. Rabbi Akiva could say that which he says, V'loi itzterich hekesho le'osham b'kesef shkolim u'me hocha nafko, and he won't need the vav moisif approach, and he'll learn the cost of the osham toloi from this pasuk of zois toras osham. And Rabbi Akiva will use the hekesh l'safek mi'ilos l'osham toloi, that as he said originally, that a safek mi'ila will also bring an osham toloi, where he learns the earlier parsha from the later parsha, namely he'll learn from osham toloi to the realm of mi'ilos. That's all fine and good, as the Gemara says, ha nicha leman didorish zois toras osham. There happens to be a controversy regarding this approach to psukim, zois toras, etc. And that controversy is found in Maseches Menachos. So that there are opinions that say that we don't expound on the pasuk like we suggested earlier, this idea of a uniform approach to all korban oshams. So according to that approach, that's not darshaning it as zois toras osham, then mai ikol lemeimar. He, Rabbi Akiva, will need the hekesh for the... He won't have a source then for the cost of an osham toloi. And we have to bear in mind that he, Rabbi Akiva, was using the Hekesh for the idea that a Sofek Me'ilah brings an Osham Toli. So where is he going to learn the cost of an Osham Toli as being Shtei Kesef? Well, to that we answer, Yolif Be'erkecha Me'osham Me'ilah. He will be able to learn from the Osham Me'ilah, from the Osham Me'ilah to the Osham Toli, using the Gezeira Shavav Be'erkecha. Osham Shivcha Harufa, Lo Kosav Bo Be'erkecha. In the case of the Osham that's brought for a illicit relations with a bondmaid, where you don't have the word Be'erkecha, how will one know that it too shall cost two kesef? So Yalfinon Be'ayel Ayel, using the Ayel Ayel Gezerah Shavah, one will be able to come to that conclusion as well. The Gemara continues, Moide Rabbi Akiva, and it went on to say in the Mishnah, V'im Sofek Mo'ati, Hamois Nedava. This was the suggested conditional statement that Rabbi Tarfon featured, and person will say, and if there is a doubt, well, the Gemara says, V'im Sofek Maikomar. What is meant by if there is a doubt? Of course there is a doubt. That's what the whole scenario, that's what the whole case is. Omar Rava, Tani, rather state the Mishnah as follows. Im Besfeko Oimeid L'Oilam, meaning if the state of doubt that he is in remains till the end, Yehei Osham Toloi, let this be the Osham Toloi. Shemi Min Shehevi Al Hoida Mevi Al Sheloi Hoida. That which he would have had to bring had he known that he was in violation of Mi'ilo, namely an Osham Mi'ilos, he brings, this is the same kind of animal that one brings as an Osham Toloi, which is Loi Hoida, where he doesn't know. The Gemara asks, well, self, ki misyoda lei boi v'asuye osham vadai. Isn't it so that when this person eventually finds out that he violated a mi'ilah prohibition, he will have to bring a second korban? Isn't that so? So what is he saving in this deal? Oma Rava, Midivrei Shnehem Nilmat, from both of these opinions we see, from Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, because we saw that Rabbi Kiva conceded to Rabbi Tarfon in the case of the Mi'ila Mu'etes, the small amount of Mi'ila violation. We learn from them, Osham Vadai Loi Boi Yediyo Betchila, that when, in order to bring an Osham Vadai, means a definitive Korban Osham, one does not need to have knowledge ahead of time. Therefore, when he brings this Korban, right now when he is in a state of doubt, it can count for the Osham Vadai as well. Even though when he is bringing it, he really doesn't know and only finds out later on, this can suffice to serve as an Osham Vadai. And that's what's meant, that you don't have to have yediya betchila, a prior knowledge of the violation, in order to have an acceptable korban osha mi'ilah. We now are about to start a Mishnah, but we should point out that this Mishnah is rather long. It goes down a good way down Chof Gimel Omed Aleph, in fact, more than halfway down the page. So in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, we will be learning this Mishnah, but pausing in the middle. The Mishnah itself is broken down into numerous cases, so that will not interfere so much with our ability to understand and follow, even though we'll pick it up, Amir Tzashem, in our next Shiur. But in the meantime, we begin the Mishnah. Ho'isha, a woman that is in doubt whether she experienced a birth. So, Ho'isha Shevio Chatos Ha'oif, a woman who brought a, it should be pointed out that a woman who bears a child is obligated to bring a Chatos and an Ola offering. The Chatos that she brings is a Chatos Ha'oif, it's a bird offering. And a bird offering can be brought as a sin offering even in a state of doubt. So we're dealing here with a woman that was doubtful whether she experienced a birth, or whatever came out of her was a non-human form, if you will, something that does not generate the need for, or doesn't classify her as a yoledes. So she's in a state of doubt concerning the matter of birth. And she brought her chatos ha'of, im ad shelo nimlika noida lo shiyolda vadai, if before the chatos ha'of, the bird sin offering, was slaughtered, if she discovers before its slaughtering that she had in fact experienced a real birth, te'oseno vadai, then the bird that she brought shall be processed, shall be slaughtered as a vadai chatasof, and as such, it can be then distributed or served to the kohanim. They can eat from it. Shemi min shi mevio al hoida, mevio al loy hoida. The same type of bird offering she would bring as a chatos ha'oif vadai, she would bring as a chatos ha'oif sofik. So when she initially purchased this and brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and she didn't know where she stood, and was going to bring it as a chatos ha'oif sofik, if before she slaughters, before it is slaughtered, is discovered that she really needs to bring the chatos ha'oif as a yoledes, in other words, that she is a real yoledes, a real, she really gave birth, a really experienced birth, the same bird can, is to be used, because there is no difference between the kind that's brought when in doubt as is brought when knowing. At this point, we see a slash in the Mishnah, and a numbering system begins. On the outside margin, you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivne heading, and we have a house form with numbers in it that will go from Roman numeral number 1 through 5. And we've indicated this is a Sidra, a series, Shel Sfekos, Bishnei Chatichos, matters of doubt that arise concerning two pieces. And what the two pieces are, we will see as we learn the examples in the Mishnah. Chaticho shel chulin v'chaticho shel kodesh. A piece of common meat and a piece of sanctified meat. Ochal achas mehen v'ein yodea eza mehen ochal. Potter, if he ate one of them and doesn't know which one he ate, so he is exempt. He does not bring a, he won't bring an osham toloi. Rabbi Kiva mechayev be'osham toli. Rabbi Kiva says that this case does generate the need for an osham toli. And this, of course, is Rabbi Kiva, consistent with what we learned earlier, that a suffix me'ilah, since we're dealing with benefit from a sanctified item, and here there's a doubt concerning it, did he benefit or not? Rabbi Kiva holds there is a need for an osham toli. Ochal echod es horishona, ubo achir v'ochal es hashnia. Someone ate the first piece, someone else came and ate the second piece. Ze mevi osham tolui, v'ze mevi osham tolui. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Each one will bring an osham tolui. And, of course, this is Rabbi Akiva, once again, that in a Sufik Mi'ila, there is a need for an Asham Toli. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Shnehem, Mevin, Asham Echad. These two people will bring one Korban in partnership. Rashi explains, at the bottom line, Shnehem, Mevin, Asham Echad, Beshutfis, V'yomar, and they say, V'yomar, Zeh, Lo Zeh. One says to the other, Im ochalto Chaticha Shel Kodesh, if you are the one that ate the sanctified meat, and hence you are the one that was over, you were in violation of Mi'ilah, Yehei Chelki Mochol Loch, Ve'osham Kulo Alecha,
then the amount that money that I contributed to this animal is then my, I am forfeiting it to you. In other words, I am moichel it to you. And the other one would say the same condition in response.
But as far as Rav Shimon is concerned, each person's outlay will only be 50% of the cost, as opposed to the approach taken by Rabbi Akiva, where each one brings a full Oshem Toloi. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Ein Shnayim, at the very top line of Chof Gimel Amar Aleph, Ein Shnayim Mevi'im Oshem Echad. Rabbi Yossi says that I don't accept this idea of an Oshem being brought in partnership. I don't hold from making conditions in sacrifices. Rather, it could be that Rabbi Yossi will go like the Chachamim, that there's total exemption here, being that we're dealing with the realm of Sofek Mi'ilah, or he may go like Rabbi Akiva, that each one will bring his own Oshem Toloi. At this point, you see we have a slash mark, and the second example will follow. But as we said, in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiurim, we will pause here. So with this, we conclude our Shiur for today.